Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Tes. We begin on the very last line of Kuf Ches Amud Beis with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hamagarish es Isha, if a man divorces a woman, and then the Herzira, and he remarries her, and then Nebuchi dies without any children, so his wife falls Yibam to his brother. But there's a potential problem over here. This woman was divorced, and therefore there was a period of time that the woman was technically ushered to undergo Yibam. The time when she was divorced, so she couldn't undergo Yibam. The fact that he remarried her, so that leads us into a machlokas that will spell out in our Mishnah, and the Tanakhama in our Mishnah holds that there is no problem with the Yavam doing Yibam on this Yavama, even though there was a divorce at some period of time, which made her into an Eishes Achshei Lo B'Bakor Mitzvah. And even though right now there is a Mitzvah, so there's a potential to say that there can't be Yibam, so the Tana of our Mishnah, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says that you can do Yibam in this situation, even though there was a period of time when Yibam couldn't be done. And this is called, as you see in the Rashi, Dira Maskam Uteris Liyavim, this is known as Misa Mapelis, as opposed to the Nisuin Harishonim Mapilim, which is the other opinion. The other opinion would say, no, you look at it from the original marriage. In the original marriage, there was a period of time when she was not eligible to undergo Yibam after the divorce. Now, since there was a period of time when she was in Eishes Achshei Shelo B'Bakor Mitzvah, that will ruin it, even though the husband remarried his wife in a perfectly hetedik way. Again, Yisrael is allowed to remarry his grusha, as long as she wasn't married to somebody else in between. Here, she wasn't married to somebody else in between. So the remarriage is a legitimate marriage. So the Tanakhama holds that the miso is my palace. You look at her at the time of the death of the husband. Yes, she's a legitimate wife. Yes, she falls Yibam. Whereas the other opinion that we'll see is that the Nisum Harishonim is what determines Yibam, and there was a period of time after the Nisum Harishonim when she wasn't eligible, and therefore she wouldn't fall Yibam now. She would require Chalitza. And that is what the Mishnah continues on Daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, possibly is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, although we'll see there's a further discussion about this. Rabbi Elazar Oser, he says that she's not allowed to undergo Yibam. We'll see that she has to go Chalitza, because we'll see that Rabbi Elazar is really a Sofek situation as to whether we say that the Miso is Mapelis or the Nisuim Harishonim Mapilim. The Mishnah then tells us that Chayna Megarish is a Yisoma. Likewise, if a person was Megarish, his wife who was only Kedushe Kitana, she was Kedushin Dirabanan, Verzira, and then he remarries her, so too Muteris Liyavim. The Tanakhama here says, again, this is exactly identical to the adult marriage, even though this is only a Dirabanan marriage, the same laws apply, and the woman can undergo Yibam in this situation. And again, Rabbi Elazar Oser disagrees and says, no, she can't. Then we have the third and final case, Kitana Sheisiyah Aviyah. Here we have Kedushim D'Araisa. The girl is married off by her father. Father halachically has the right mid-D'Araisa to marry off his Kitana daughter. And in this situation, that was a D'Araisa marriage. And then the husband divorced her while she was a Kitana Midisgarsha. So now she is no longer married on a D'Araisa level. And now she is considered Kiyasoma B'Chaya Ha'av. We used this expression before to say that the father now has the same rights like the mother or the older brothers do in a situation where the father died, to marry off only midirabanan. And this second marriage would only be midirabanan. And therefore, if he married her back to the man that he married her to Duraisa, and now she's married back only on a Durabanan level, Verzira, in this situation, Divri Akol, the Tanakhama would agree with Rabbi Elazar in this situation, Asuruliyam, then she can't go have relations with the other, because on a Daraisa level, she is considered a divorced woman, and this marriage is only midirabanan, and therefore, on a Daraisa level, he can't do Yibam with the woman, because it's Eishes Achshei Lo B'Makor Mitzvah. Tomorrow we'll explain this all in more detail, and now we begin. Amar Eifa, Eifa is the name of Talmud Chacham, Rashi says, Shem Chacham, my time with Rabbi Elazar. What is the reason behind Rabbi Elazar saying that, Oser, that you're not allowed to undergo Yibam in the case of the marriage Daraisa, or the case of the marriage Durabanan? So, in the Machzir Grushasu case. Ho, since va'omda olav sho achas bisura, so it looks as if I said this is the regular case of the Nisuin Harishonim Mapilim, since there was a period of time after that original Nisuin when she wasn't eligible for Yibam after she got divorced, whether it was a divorce from the Raisa marriage or whether it was a divorce from the Rabbanim marriage. In either event, at that point in time, she was Eishes Achshei Lo B'Makor Mitzvah, so that potentially ruins her from ever having Yibam, even though she is remarried again to her first husband, Beheter Gomer. So that seems to be Eifa's reasoning, but the Gemara objects to this. Omalei Rabbanon Le'Eifa, the Rabbanon say to Eifa, that's incorrect. Ihachi, if what you're saying is right, then Chalitza Nami Lo Tibay, that she shouldn't require Chalitza. Ay, you're going to tell me, V'chitei Mahocha Nami, that Rabbi Elazar doesn't require chalitza, but that's not true, because it says beferish v'tanya. We have a brisa that it says mishum Rabbi Elazar amru chalitza, that Rabbi Elazar does require chalitza. So again, mimarashach, if she is not allowed to undergo Yibam because the Nisuin Harishonim Mapilim, so then she shouldn't require Chalitza as well. And if you're telling me that she requires Chalitza, then why can't she have Yibam? So we have a problem with Eifa's statement, and Eifa in fact says, Rabbi Lozer lo yadan hamay taima. Yes, this is Rabbi Lozer Shita, but I don't know what it is. So I don't have a good answer for it. So Gemara is going to give us an answer for it. Amar Abaya, Abaya says, Haina time of the Rabbi Lozer. This is the reasoning behind Rabbi Lozer. Misafkale, he is unsure whether we say Misa Mapelis or Nisun Rishonim Mapilim. Both of these are potentially good arguments. And therefore, he has a sophic. Imisa Mapelis, Inisum Rishonim Mapilim. And therefore, Imisa Mapelis, if you say that the Misa is Mapelis, so then Horamya Kamel Yibam, then she would in fact be allowed to undergo Yibam. But in Isum Rishonim Apilim, if we hold that opinion, so then she's Eishes Ach Shalom B'Maku Mitzvah for a period of time when they were divorced. So Amdolav Shoachas B'Yisur, there was this period of time when she was forbidden to undergo Yibam with him, and therefore she wouldn't require Yibam or Chalitza. So therefore, one opinion says she could have Yibam or Chalitza. The other opinion says she doesn't require Yibam or Chalitza. So therefore, Abaye says, that's why Rav Lozer is Masapek over here. So he says, Mimadav Shach, do Chalitza. If she required Yibam Chalitza, no, she has Chalitza. And if she didn't require either one, big deal, you did Chalitza, no harm done. So that's Abaye's Teretz. Rav gives a different Teretz. Rav Amar, Leolam Pshita, L'Rabbi Elazar, the Misa no Pelis. No, in fact, Rabbi Elazar holds that we go by the Misa. And this, in fact, when there's Machzi Grushas or Beheter, so then she would, in fact, need to undergo Yibam or Chalitza. So why does Rabbi Elazar say we don't do Yibam, we only do Chalitza? He says it's a Gzeira. Umiyu, Hako Bekiyim Begerishin. Everybody knows the Gerishin occurred. But not everyone knows that she got remarried. So people are going to see that the Yibam is done, and they're going to say, hey, wait a second, she was divorced. Oh, it must be that you're allowed to do Yibam even on a divorced wife. That's called Yibam B'Mokum Mitzvah, Eishasach B'Mokum Mitzvah, even though there was a divorce. They're not going to know that she got remarried. So that's why Rabbi said it's a Gzeira. Rabbi Loza says don't allow it because people won't know that she got remarried, and they'll think that you're allowed to do Yibam on a divorced wife. Mar says, what? They're not going to know she got married. Adarab, everybody's going to know she got married. Chazara, the return marriage, kivun de yosva to say, she lives with him. So isle kol, everybody's going to know that they're living together again. What type of a gezeira, what type of a concern is Rabbi Elazar concerned about, according to you, Rava? So Mar says, no. Milo askin, all we're talking about over here, the ahadra biursa. Yes, he took her back. Ushchiv bitzapra. And however, he took her back with marriage, but he died that very night. And therefore, nobody's going to know that Yosva to say that they were married again. The marriage of Nebuch was a few hours only. He got married and then had a heart attack. So therefore, nobody's going to know that. And therefore, people are going to mistakenly think that, in fact, you're allowed to go and do Yibam with a divorced wife. And therefore, because of that takala, Rabba says, we don't allow Yibam according to Rabba Lazar. So we have a bias reasoning, we have Rabba's reasoning, and we have a third reasoning, Ravashi. Ravashi Omar, Haina time of the Rabba Lazar. This is the reason why Rabba Lazar says we do Chalitza and we don't allow Yibam. Because we make a Gzera, the Gozer, Hani, Mishum Yesoma B'chayah V'chzira. Because in the third case of the Mishnah, when we had a real marriage d'oraisa as a ketana, because the father was able to marry her, and then the father remarried her only to meet the Rabbanan after she got the get. And when she returned to him, that was only the Rabbanan marriage. And the Rabbanan marriage, as we said, we pointed out in the Mishnah, everybody, not only Rabbi Elazar, even the Chachamim agree, you can't do Yibam in that situation because this is Eishes Ach Shelo B'Malkum Mitzvah because they're divorced on a d'oraisa level. Albeit they're remarried on a Rabbanan level, but on a d'oraisa level, they're still divorced. And therefore, Rav Ashi says, this is the Gzeira. If we allow Yibam in a normal situation, we may allow Yibam, Rachmona Latzan, in a situation of Yisoma B'chaya Avhechzira, which everybody agrees is not allowed. That would be a Pogea Be'erva. And therefore, that's why Rav Elazar made the Gzeira. And the Gemara says, Hochanami Mestabra. This actually makes very good sense, Rav Ashi's understanding, because look at the diuk in the words, Midiktani Sefer. Look at the Mishnah. It said carefully, Ketana Shisi Aviyah Viniskarsha. It says, the Ketana that was married on the Raisa level by her father, then she was divorced, and now, Kiyosomu Chayav, we said, when the father remarries her, the Hazira, she returns to her first husband, and so only Midirabbanan. Everybody agrees in that situation, since on a deraisa level she's not married to him anymore, so you can't do Yibam. Now, hi, Mahalamemra, this is Pshita. This is so obvious. Why did we need a Mishnah to tell us this? Of course, she's not married on a deraisa level, so of course there's no Yibam on a deraisa level with an Eishes Ach Shelo B'Malkum Mitzvah. So, here's the Chiddush. Elalav Hokamash Lord. So, isn't the Mishnah teaching us the time of the Rabbi Elazar? The Gozer Hanach Mishum Hai. That the reasons why he was Gozer in case number one and number two is because of case number three. Exactly like we just said, Rav Ashi says, oh, that's a very good Raya Shmamina. That's a very good proof. And in fact, we have not only this support from logic, but Tanya Kavosi the Rabbi Ashi. We have, in fact, a braisa that says exactly Rav Ashi. It says, Modim Chachamim Rabbi Elazar, the Chachamim Mamodim, the case of Rabbi Elazar, Biktavish Sisi Aviyah, and then the Echzira. The in the case, the third case of the Mishnah, the Braisa says that the rabbis will hold it to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that everybody would agree that on the Braisa level, they're no longer married, so you can't do Yibam, even though they're married on the Rabbana level. Because Harehi ki yisov b'chaya av, b'chzira she'asura le'yavam, and in this situation, even though he took her back, she would be forbidden to the Yavam. Why? Because the Gerishin was a din, the Raisa of Gerishin, then Chazarasa, Chazar Gabur. But the Chazara, the remarriage, is only made the Rabbanan. And therefore, we're dealing over here with a Isser of Erva. Now, Bamed Var Mamurim, when was this said? That's only Shagir Shah Shiktana. The Gerishin took place while she was a Ktana, the Chzira, and the remarriage took place Kishiktana, when she was also a Ktana. However, if the divorce took place while she was a Ketana, but Verzira Shigdola, but he remarried her when she was a Gdola, so now the marriage is on a Deraisa level, or alternatively, Inami Herzira Shikatana, he remarried her while she was a Ketana, but Vigodla Etzlo, she lived with him and stayed with him until she was a Gdola, and then Vamesin only he died afterwards, so then in that situation, she is in fact a perfectly legitimate wife, and the Chachamim would not say like Rabbi Elazar, that you can't do Yibam, you do Chalitza, but they would say, O Choletzes, O Misabemes. The Chachamim would say, in that situation, it's a field of choice for the Yavim. If he wishes to, he can do Yibam, otherwise he does Chalitza. However, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Amu Choletzes, Lo Misabemes. But Rabbi Elazar's sheet is, in that situation, he makes the Gzeira. If you allow this, you may end up having a Takala. So Rabbi Elazar says that in that situation, he only allows Chalitza, but not Yibam. Oh, you see, clearly, this Braisa is exactly like Rav Ashi said, Tanya Kavose de Rav Ashi. Now Gemara asks the following question. Boy, minei Rava, mi Rav Nachman. Rava asks Rav Nachman the following shayla. Tzara so mahu. In this situation, let's say there was a co-wife. So he was machzir zrusha so, but there's a co-wife. So in this situation, do we say that the co-wife also is only allowed to undergo chalitza, or could the co-wife undergo yibam? So this question was asked by Rava to Rav Nachman, and he answered it back. Amalei, he gufa gzera. According to Rav Elazar, it's only a gzera over here that you're not allowed to go and do yibam with the woman who was remarried. So that's a gzera. Are we going to go? Vana, neka, minigzo, gzera, gzera. So we should make another gzera to protect this gzera. We shouldn't allow the tzara because of this concern of this gzera on the wife herself who was remarried. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, no, this gzera was only on the woman who was remarried, but not on her co-wife. Adimar says, well, Tanya, it seems to say, no, it goes on the co-wife as well. Mishom Rabbi Elazar, Armu, he vitzarasa choletzes, that both of them require chalitza. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Could they both require chalitza? No. Always, only one of the two requires chalitza, and the other one goes off scot-free. Tell Allah, Ohi, O Tzarasa Choletzes. Doesn't it mean that either she, the woman who was remarried, or her co-wife, who was only married once, one of them requires chalitza? So doesn't Rabbi Elazar seem to suggest that even in that situation, chalitza is necessary? So Mordechai says, no. Lav terutza kumatartza. So aren't you giving us a revision over here of this braisa? So once you're revising it, revise it this way as well. Torah tzachi. He choletzes. The woman who was remarried, she can only have chalitza. And then the other one goes scot-free. However, tzarasa, the woman who wasn't remarried, she stayed married the whole time. So then, even Rabbi Elazar would say, oh choletzes, oh misya b'mes. There is no gzeru l'gzeru over here. She, in fact, can undergo yibam, and then it would free up the woman who was remarried, or she can undergo chalitza, and that would free up the woman that was remarried. Okay, hope that was clear. We go on to Vayta, the next Mishnah. Shnei Achen, you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, nesuin l'shtei achoyos kitanos. They're married to two girls who are minors. They're both kitanos. They're married to Rachel and Leah. So two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, are married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Both Rachel and Leah are kitanos. Umei is baal u'shalach smiyed. Let's say Reuven dies, and now Rachel would fall in Yibam to her brother-in-law Shimon. But her brother-in-law Shimon is already married to her sister, Leah. So in this situation, halezu teitzei mishum achos isha. So there is no yibum here because she's achos ishto. She is the sister of his wife. And therefore, there is no requirement of yibum or chalitza. Even though it's only midrabanan, there is no requirement of yibum or chalitza. And it makes sense because there's only a requirement of yibum midrabanan. So therefore, there is allowed to be this dirabanan marriage can knock off the schi of dirabanan of yibum. So therefore, they go scot-free. Likewise, if the two sisters over here, Rachel and Leah, were both lav bardas, they both were unable to speak and unable to hear, the same halach would apply. However, if it was gedola u'kitana, if the two sisters were of different ages, one was a gedola and one was a kitana. So Reuven and Shimon married, one married a gedola, one married a kitana. So let's assume that meis baal shel kitana. Let's say Reuven married a kitana. So Rachel was the younger daughter, and the older sister, the older daughter, was married to Shimon. So in this situation, Reuven dies, and the Ketana then falls Yibam to the brother-in-law, Shimon. in this situation, so here there's a full valid marriage. It's a regular case of achos ishto, and of course there's no yibum v'chalitza necessary. But it was the other way around. Let's say Reuven married the older sister. He married Rachel, and then Reuven dies, and Rachel falls in yibum to Shimon. Shimon's married to her younger sister, who is a ketana. So here we have three different opinions as to what should be the halacha. And if you remember, we discussed this early in the Masechta as well. So first we have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, we teach Leah to do miyun with her husband Shimon. Even though they've been living together as husband and wife, we tell her, no, get out of this marriage. Now that marriage through miyun is retroactively uprooted, and Shimon is never married to her. Therefore, now when Rachel falls in Yibam to Shimon, this is not achos ishto, this is a regular case of Yibam. And Rabbi Eliezer says this is perfectly acceptable. Licha tchila, you teach her to do miyun, and therefore Yibam can be done with the sister. Rachel can undergo Yibam, or Chalitza, with Shimon, because Shimon was never really married to her sister Leah, because that was uprooted through Miyun. That's opinion number one, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Gamliel disagrees. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, if you want to do like Rabbi Eliezer, that's perfectly fine. In Miyana, that's perfectly good. If she wishes to do what Rabbi Eliezer suggested, that's allowable, and then there is no problem, then Rachel will in fact fall Yibam to Shimon, and Leah's marriage to Shimon is uprooted retroactively because of Miyun, and therefore, absolutely okay to do like Rabbi Eliezer if that's what you want. However, she says, I love my husband. He says he loves her. They don't want to uproot their marriage. So in that situation, what do? Tamtin achitagdio. Wait till Leah becomes a gedola. Now, once she's a gedola, we'll see there's a difference of opinion as to whether she has to have relations again with her husband once she's a gedola, or just by the fact that she's a gedola, she now becomes married on a doraisa level to Shimon. And now, betetze halezu. Rachel now goes out, Mishum Achos Isha. Now, she doesn't have Yibum or Chalitza requirement because Shimon is married to her sister, and she's Achos Ishto, and therefore goes off scot-free without requiring Yibum or Chalitza. That's Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. You can do like Rabbi Eliezer said, or if not, just wait till she becomes married as a Gedola, either with or without Bia after she becomes a Gedola, and then we will be able to go and let Rachel go off scot-free without Yibum or Chalitza because of Achos Ishto. That's opinion number two. Opinion number three is the most difficult one. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, he says, oi. Really, the technical way to say this is e. Rashi says it means oi. Oi lo al ishto, oi lo al eishes ochiv. This poor guy, Shimon, loses his wife midrabanan, and he's also not able to do yibam midraisa. He has to do chalitza. Motzis ishto beget. He can't go and live with his wife any longer because this is achos zikukoso. The zikika here is on a deraisa level because his brother was married on a deraisa level. So this zika to him uproots his midrabanan marriage, so he can no longer live with her. You can't do Rabbi Gamliel's teretz according to Rabbi Yeshua, and he has to give his wife a get. They were married. She obviously could do miyun, but she has to give a get. So therefore, give a get in this situation to his first wife, the ketana, and then he must do chalitza. He can't do yibam with Rachel, his brother's wife, his dead brother's wife, because this is achos chalutzoso. So he no longer can do yibam with her. So Nebuch, he can't stay married to his own wife, and he can't go and acquire the new wife through yibam. He has to divorce his current wife, and he has to do chalitza to the sister-in-law. We understand why we use this lotion of e, which means oi. He's in big trouble over here. Nadigmor starts off and says, umi shari, do we allow this woman, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to do miyam l'chatchila? After all, we don't like to do miyun. Well, Tony Bar Kapara, we're going to learn right now that Bar Kapara says, La'olam yidbak odam b'shlosha dvarim v'yisrachik b'shlosha dvarim. A person should try to do three things, and he should try to distance himself from three things. We'll explain all six of them. First, we'll say them. What are the first three that you should try to attach yourself to? Yidbak b'shlosha dvarim. Try to attach yourself to the following three things. To do chalitza as opposed to yibam. We don't like to do yibam nowadays. And this we'll see is the opinion of Abba Shaul, which even in times of Gemara, he was not a fan of doing Yibam because of the potential improprieties involved, and he said to do Chalitza, which is what we do nowadays. But Yidbak Mishlosh Dvarim says to do Chalitza preferentially over Yibam, according to Abba Shaul, as we'll see. Ubav Shalom, a person should go out of his way to always make peace. So we'll explain what this means in a second. Ubav Faras Nadarim, and a person shouldn't try to do Nadarim. If he does make a Nadar, so then he should try to be Matirid, or a husband to a wife is Mefer, based into a person is called Matir. Here we use the generic term Hafaras Nadarim. So these three things a person should always try to attach himself to. Chalitza, Habav Shalom, and Hafaras Nadarim. And three things he should try to stay far away from. Yisrachi Bishlosh Dvarim, he shouldn't do Miyun. That's the whole point where this is brought in now. A person should not ever recommend Miyun, as we'll see in a moment. Umin HaBikdonos, a person shouldn't take pikadons to hold in his house. We'll see in a moment why not. Umin haravonos, we'll see in a moment why he shouldn't be a guarantor for certain types of loans. Again, it's talking about a specific type of guarantor. So these are the six things that we mentioned, and now we'll darshan each of them and understand them. So the first one is the mian. So clearly it says that you should distance yourself from mian. That should be one of the things that you're merachik from. So how can we tell Rabbi Eliezer, go and do mian l'chatchil over here when it's something that we should distance ourselves from? So the Gemara says, no, mian de mitzvah. Here, why are you doing mian? Why are we instructing Leah to go and be mamayin and her husband Shimon? That's so Shimon can now do the mitzvah of yibam, which is a mitzvah daraisa that falls upon him. So in order to fulfill a mitzvah daraisa, mitzvah shiny, so we allow miyun because mitzvah is shiny. In general, we stay away from miyun. The more we'll explain why in a moment, because just not the right thing. A person shouldn't go and get into a marriage and then just walk away from the marriage, especially as an adult. They may regret that they walked away and they'll be married to somebody else, and they're going to cause kitata, fighting with a new husband. So we try to distance ourselves from miyun, yisrachik from miyun, except over here where it's a mitzvah, so therefore we say it's allowable. That's what Rabbi Elazar would hold. Now, gufa, tani bar kapar liyoli mid bar kodem shol shavarim. So the first of the three things that bar kapar said a person should try to attach himself to is bechalitza. Now we'll dash in all of these three things. And this is, as I mentioned, ki abashol, like the pin of abashol, the tanya abashol said, abashol omer, hakone sitivim to l'shem noy. If a person looks at his sister-in-law who never falls to him in yibim because his brother died, and he says, wow, she's beautiful. Or l'shem isha says, no, I want to have a wife. I wasn't zochet to find my shidduch, and now, baruch Hashem, I'll have a shidduch. Or l'shem tovaracha, for any other reason. He wants to have children. He wants to, you know, be married. It's more comfortable to be married. You know, it's company, whatever. Any reason other than the pure mitzvah of doing yibum. So Abishol's opinion is kilu pogeh b'erva, even though this is technically heter, but it's eishesach, and he's saying if you're not doing it for the purest of purposes, it's eishesach shelo b'malka mitzvah. You're not doing it totally l'shem mitzvah. So Abishol says don't do it. Better to do chalitza in that situation. That's why a person should be yidbak to do chalitza. The korv be'enai, because Abishol says it's close in my eyes, lios havlad mamzer, as if you're having relations with an erva, and the child would be a mamzer. So therefore, Abishol, which is the opinion that we follow today, lemaisa, is that we don't do yibam except under the most rarest of circumstances, at least amongst Ashkenazim, but we always recommend chalitza be done instead. So that's the opinion of Abba Shaul that Bar Kapara reports. The second one, you should do everything possible to attach yourself to Avos Shalom. Always try to make Shalom, right? Be like Aaron HaKohen, Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. You should run after Shalom. Dechsiv, because the pasuk says, Bakei Shalom v'rodfeyu. It was a famous pasuk in Tillim says, go and run after Bakei Shalom. Actively run after it v'rodfeyu. We turn to Kuftes Hamibes. What does this mean? V'amar Rabbi Avo. This means Asya Redifa Redifa. We have a famous Gzeri Shav over here on the word Redifa. Ksiv Hach, it says over here, Baki Shalom Rafeyu. And it also says, Uksiv Hasam, in regards to ultimate world to come, way to get there, is Rodev Tztok of a Chesed. If a person runs after Tztok of a Chesed, then Yimso Chaim Tztok. He will find Chaim Tztok, which Rashi points out means Ba'olam Haba. Covered all of my and will get covered in all of my. So therefore, this is something a person should always try to attach himself to as much as possible. Run after Shalom Bayis. Run after bringing peace in the world. So therefore, this is the second thing that Bar Kapara said that a person should try to attach himself to. And the third thing, what is that? Bafaris Nadarm. A person should always get rid of any Nadarm that he has. And this goes like the opinion of Nosson, famous opinion of Nosson, the time within the Bryce of Nosson Omer, Hanoder, if somebody makes a Nadar, it's as if they built a bama. Bama is a mizbeach that you're not allowed to have nowadays since the Beis Hamikdash was built, so we're not allowed to go and bring our own personal backyard sacrificial altars. During certain periods of time, not when we had the Mishkan in Shiloh, but we had the Mishkan in Nov and Givon and in Gilgal, so then you were allowed to have your own private bama. But nowadays you're not allowed to. In fact, throughout Malachim, it tells us that each of the good kings of Malchus Yehuda, so they did everything to try to restore Yashrus to Klaisor, but they never could get rid of this activity of people sacrificing, even l'shamayim, even l'kodesh baruch hu, on their backyard baba, on their personal private altars, which was not allowed. So a person who makes a neder is kiilu bana bama. It's as if he built a bama, which is not allowed to be allowed. And even v'amakayim, even if you fulfill your neder, so one could say, yeah, high five, I did a good thing. Nevertheless, kiilu hikri v'ol karban. That's as if you went and sacrificed on this bama. Again, it's not good to make the dharm. It says, one l'tzan, By making the darim, Rachman Islam, a child or a wife, can Rachman Islam be lost? So therefore, a person should be very, very careful not to make nedarim. And if you make a neder by accident, so go and be mefer or matir your neder in order not to be makayim this idea of anoder kilu bala bamev amakaimo kilu hikriv oleh karban. So these are the three things that a person should attach himself to, try very hard to go and do these things and not do something else. Then the three things that you should distance yourself from, Yisrakik, Mishol Shudvarim, a person should go and keep as far away from as possible those three things that we said. So the first one, Minam Miyun. Why? Because Duma Godla, because the woman's going to grow older and she'll get married to somebody else, Umechartaba, and then she's going to be very sorry. She says, wow, this husband isn't like my first husband, and I wish I had been married to my first husband. I'm sorry that I did Miyun. So there's a potential for regret over here, and it's going to cause a lot of ketata in her new marriage. Her new husband's going to say, hey, how come you're so morose? And he says, well, you're a bum compared to my first husband. I wish I'd never left him. That's going to cause tremendous fighting in their marriage. So therefore, stay away from Miyun. Stay with this husband. That's what you were destined to. And therefore, don't be so quick to give it up. Now, the second thing we said stay away from was min ha-pikdonos. Don't accept a pikodon, a collateral, to put into your house, a deposit in your house. Why is that? Bebar masa. It's only referring to somebody who lives in the same town as you. As Rashi says, lo yikabo pikodon mi ben iro. Don't keep in your house things that are in the same city. Your friend could keep it in his house. Why is he keeping it in your house? Why is it any safer in your house? The baisei ki baisei domi. Why is your house any better than his house? So it's much better to leave it in his house than take it to your house. Rashi says, shirogilatzlo. If this guy's a regular in your house, v'yitoleshlo. Because you know what? He's going to take the collateral that he gave to you. V'yasro v'yitvenu. He says, hey, where's my collateral? So you're only looking for trouble. There's no reason it's safer in your house than in his house. He lives in the same city as you. So therefore, since he could come possibly and take the collateral from you without you knowing it, because he's in your house on a regular basis, and then you're going to have a din Torah with him, and it's going to be all sorts of ketata. So don't take pikdonos from somebody who lives in the same town as you, who's a regular in your house. I thought, when he has that, it's also not good to have somebody else come into your house all the time, because he's always checking on his pikdonos, and Rahman al-Islam, it could lead to immoral purposes. Okay. Then the third thing that you should stay far away from, min ha'iravon. You shouldn't be a guarantor for a loan. So why is that? That sounds like it's a great thing that a person should do. So the Gemara says, we're dealing here over here, ba'arvei shel tzion. This is a certain type of guarantee, which the person who's guaranteeing it is essentially saying, you can come to me even before you go back to him. Normally a guarantor says, if he can't pay you back, then I will pay it. So I'm guaranteeing the loan. But that's the normal way a guarantor works. But this is a special type of guarantee known as the Arve Shel Tzion, or as we'll see, the word is Shluf Dutz, which means that the guarantor is saying, it's okay to come to me even first, even before you go to him, and then I'll go get back the money from him. And that's not a good thing, the word says. That you should stay far away from. The Omer of Yitzchak, Yitzchak says, my disiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Ra Yeroa Ki Orev Zor? This is a pasuk from Mishlei, which says that tzaros are going to come on the person if he serves as a Orev, a guarantor. It's going to lead to trouble. Why is that? Ra Acharo Tavo L'Mekabli Gerim. So it means over here that if you're Mekabel Gerim, we'll see in a moment, that we don't try to influence people to become a Ger. And as we've mentioned many times, including in this Masechta, that we discourage Gerism. We're not a proselytizing religion. But if somebody comes to us over and over and over again and says, I want to convert, such as Rus HaMoavia, who said, no, despite the fact that you're telling me not to, I still want to, so then we do accept them. So it's not a good thing to go and accept Gerim without trying to discourage them first. So that's what this pasuk means. It's only going to lead to trouble. Ro acharo tavo l'mekabel Gerim. If we go and accept Gerim without putting in all the stopgap measures that we talked about, so then it's not going to lead to good. We'll explain in a moment why not. And ula arve shel tzion. And likewise, it's not going to come to good for the people that are these types of guarantors that say, you can come to me first and I'll pay you back, and then I'll go get back the money from the person who really owes you the money. That's not a good thing, as we'll explain in a moment. Ula tokeya atzmo l'dvar halacha. And the third thing that it's referring to is a person who is holding on to a certain halacha. We'll explain what this means in a second. So let's look first at the Mekabel Gerim. Why is that not a good thing? Rabbi Chalbo. That is in accord with what Rabbi Chalbo said. What did Rabbi Chalbo say? Rabbi Chalbo, kashim gerim liyisrael, that the acceptance of gerim on Klai Yisrael is kisapachas bor, is like a certain type of a neg of tzaras called the sapachas on the skin. And there's two general explanations of this. We've gone through this in the past. I won't go through detail now. There's one explanation that says that they still retain many of their bad habits, and they're going to lead you into less of a strong connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because they're used to doing certain things improperly, and they're going to continue to do those things. That's the way they were raised. That's the way they're brought up, and they're going to lead you astray. That's one way of looking at it. The way I prefer to look at it, which is, again, many of the ways of the Mefarshim, is that the Gerim are going to put us to shame. They're so strict in their observance. They say, what? You can't talk during davening. Davening is speaking to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the people that are from Pabert say, yeah, and I know that, but we talk anyway during davening. Rachmono Litzlan. So therefore, the Gerim show us up. They're so intense and so punctilious in their performance of mitzvot, they make us look bad. So therefore, that's what it means, Koshim Gerim Yisrael, Kisapachas Bo'or. Okay, that's the first thing. Avi Shulzion, we said that this is also not a good thing to be a guarantor like this, is because this is talking about the Avde Shluf Dutz. This is a certain type of guarantee that I said that they can come to you first rather than going to the person that actually took the loan. Because that's just going to lead to trouble for the person. So don't be that type of a guarantor. It's not a good thing. And finally, the third thing is Tokei Atzma Levar Alocha. What does that mean? The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Omer, Ein Lo Torah, Ein Lo Torah. So Rabbi Yossi says, this is talking about a person that says, I don't know Halocha, and therefore, he doesn't have any Torah. He says, so what's the chiddush over there? Of course, that's not a good thing. Pshita. Obviously, if the guy doesn't know any halacha and he says, I don't know any halacha, so why is that telling us that that's a bad thing? Of course, that's a bad thing. So he says, you're right, that's not what it means. Elo, it means, Kola Omer, Elo, Elo Torah. This guy says, oh, all I do is sit in base medrash all day and learn. I don't practice anything that I learn, but I learn quite a bit. So such a person, Ein lo ela Torah. All he has is the Torah learning, but he doesn't have any of the performance of the mitzvos because he doesn't perform the mitzvos. Where it says again, Honavi Pshita, if he didn't perform the mitzvos, why are you telling me that he doesn't get credit for them? Obviously he doesn't get credit for them for not doing the mitzvos. So where it says, Elo dafilu Torah Elo. So the chiddush over here is that even though he spent 20 hours a day learning the base medrash, but he doesn't perform any of the mitzvos. This would be like in the days of the Haskalah, you'd have people learning in a base medrash on Shabbos smoking a cigarette because they had no other intellectual pursuits that they could do. The goyim didn't let them go to university. The goyim didn't let them make parnosa. So they'd sit in the base medrash and learn, even though they didn't believe any of it, but it was intellectually exciting. So they'd sit in the base medrash smoking a cigarette on Shabbos. Unbelievable. So this is, even the Torah he doesn't get in that situation. Elo dafilu Torah Elo. Well, says, why not? My timer. Bottom line is, he learned the Torah. How come he doesn't get the reward for the learning of the Torah? How did he lose that? So I'm a Rapapa. Rapapa says, Amakrub, because the Pasuk says that the learning of Torah alone is insufficient. Ulamadatem, you have to learn Torah. Vasisim also. And you have to go and carry it out. Just the learning of the Torah without the intention to carry it out is nothing. Koshieshno basia. If you do what you learn, yeshno blamida, then you get the learning too. However, koshieshno basia, if you don't carry out what you learn, ain't no bill and me, then you don't get credit for the learning as well. That's teretz number one. People are saying, well, alternatively, no. Liolam, kidam riso, meikar. No, it's actually like we said at the beginning. Kol omer, ain't lo ela Torah, ain't lo ela Torah. The person says, all I do is learn Torah, I don't do any mitzvahs, so then he does get the learning of the Torah. So why is that a big chiddush? Lo tzricha, the chiddush is, the kol magbel yachrini v'ozli v'yodei, because he teaches Torah, and he taught a whole bunch of other people to give tzedakah, he taught a whole bunch of other people to wear tzitzis, to put on tefillin, etc. And now they do all of that. So you might have thought, ma'u detema is lei agra l'didei, that he should get credit for causing those people to go and do those mitzvos. Kamash v'lon, Rav Yossi's telling us, no, he doesn't even get credit for causing the other people to get mitzvos. All he has is the Torah that he learned, but he won't get credit for causing the other people to do mitzvos because he doesn't do the mitzvos himself. Alternatively, the Yibayisema, a third explanation, Tokeya Asmo Ludvar Halacha. This is a totally different way of looking at it. The person is stuck on a certain halacha. And b'dayano da'ase dina l'kameh. And we're talking here about a judge. He's judging dinim, and he knows a certain din, and he tries to formulate everything that comes into his beis din into that din without going and asking his Rebbe, is this the same or is this not the same? The gomar halacha, so he learned a certain halacha, but it's not exactly what the din that came to him was. And he tries to say, yeah, this is analogous to that, even though it may not be. But instead, what he should have done, Visli Rabbah, here's a Rebbe. But he didn't go and ask him. Instead, he just tried to figure it out himself, which is a very nice thing to do. But if you can't come up with a clear-cut answer, you go ask your Rebbe. So here he tried to fit everything into his nice, little, small amount of Torah knowledge and tried to be Madama Milsa Milsa when it really didn't fit. He should have asked his Rebbe what the din is. So that's what it means. This person is set fast on that one halacha. And we see the Amar Rabbi Shmuel by Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Shmuel Nachmeni said the name of Yonasan. La olam yira dayan atzmo. A judge should always view himself keilu cherev unachaslo. Now the gears that we have is ben yirei chosav, as if he has a big sword, a big cherev that's in between his thighs. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Mesor Shas tells us, has a slightly different gears. There it says unachaslo al tzavaro, on his neck. And the Gehenim pesuch lo mitachtav, and the Gehenim is open below him. And if he's not careful with his judgment, he's going to fall right into Gehenim. This is based upon a pasuk that we have in Shir Hashirim. Shinemar, Hinei Mitaso Shel Shlomo. Famous pasuk that we say, many people say this at night, every night with Kriya Shema Lamita. Hinei Mitaso Shel Shlomo Shishim Gibur Misar Bilah, Migibur Yisrael. The next pasuk, Kulom Achuzi Cherev, Nulubde Milchama, Ish Chaba Yerecho, Mipachad Balelos. What does this mean? Mipachad Shel Gehenim Shedome Lelaila. That's the Gehenim that's below it. That's compared to the night. So the person should be afraid to misjudge. A Dayan has to be so much aware that he could chas v'shalom bring himself to Gehenna if he's not careful about his judgments. So that's how we understand this third opinion of the person who's set fast in a certain halach. Then we go to the next part of the Mishnah, where we quote the reasoning of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said, yes, you can do like Rabbi Eliezer, or not, just wait till she becomes a Gedola, and this way the marriage will be a derisive marriage, and now the other sister, Rachel, who was married to Reuven, who died, goes away without requiring Yibu Chalitza because it's Achos Ishto, now on a derisa level. So that's Rabbi Gamliel, Omer, Imiyano, Avachule. That was his perfectly equal opportunity over here to follow Rabbi Lezer or not. So Mar says, Baimine Rabbi Lazar, Mei Rav. Rabbi Lazar asks Rav the following, my time up the Rabbi Gamliel. What's the rationale behind Rabbi Gamliel saying that this woman, who's a Ketana, wait till she becomes a Gedola, and then the marriage will be on a derisa level, and the sister, Rachel, in this case, who was married to Reuven, goes away without Yibum Chalitza. And two possibilities. Rabbi Lazar asks Rav. He says, do we say, Mishum de Ksavar Kiddush Ketana Misla Tulu? Do we say that the Kiddush that she had as a Ketana, when Leah was married Midr Rabbanan to Shimon, so that is hanging in abeyance. It's Misla Tulu. It's as if it's hanging there. And then as soon as she becomes a grown up, as soon as she becomes Gedol, the Chigodla, Gadle Bahada, the Kiddushin now becomes a Kiddushin de Oraisa. Even though she did not yet have bia with her husband Shimon as a gedola, just the fact that she was a gedola, the kiddushin grows from kiddushin that were the rabbanon into kiddushin that are now the araisa. Is that the rationale? So she doesn't even have to have bia with her husband Shimon when she becomes a gedola for this to be a marriage the araisa? Or do we say odeoma? No, mishum dekasavar, because the reality is, when he was makadishur as a ketana, hamakadish achos yevama, niftura yevama v'holchala. That normally, when you go and marry the sister of the woman who could be your yevama someday, so when Shimon married Leah in this situation, so he's marrying the sister of his potential yevama, so it depends. I boal in, if he has relations with her, so then, when she's a gedola, he has relations with Leah, his wife, so then, the Yibum Chalitza imperative on the sister of his wife, on Rachel, goes away. Elobal, but if he doesn't have relations with her, no, it doesn't go away low. And then we're still in the same problem that it's Azika to the sister, and he's not married on a Daraisa level to his wife. So those were the two options that Rulazar suggested to Rab. Does this go away automatically, even without Bia? Or no, he has to have Bia with her for this opinion of Rav Gamliel to take effect. So Rab answers, Omale, Hainu time the Rabbi Gamliel, it's the second one. Mishum diksavar, Mekadesh achos yivom, niftru yivom v'hochalo, ibal in, ilo balo. It's only if he has relations with her, does this go away. Does the Yibum Chalitza imperative on the sister go away? Because now, by having beer with her as a gedola, that turns this into a full-fledged marriage, and therefore, the Zika is out the window because it's achos ishto, and now there's no Yibum or Chalitza imperative. So Rav holds like the second option that Rav Elazar suggested. When Rav Sheshes heard this, he was surprised. Amar Rav Sheshes, Amina, I say, Kinayim v'shalchiv Rav, Amar l'hoshmaisa. Rav must have been half asleep. Rav Sheshes was so certain that Rav wouldn't make such a mistake, because he felt that this was a mistake, so he said, Rav must have been half asleep when he said this. He had such tremendous respect for Rav, he said there's no way Rav could have said that it was like the second shot, that you have to have bia, when the answer is no, just by being a gedola, that's enough to make the Yimum Chalitz imperative on the sister go away, but even without bia. And he says, I'll show you this, because there's a price, and it says it beferish, the Tanya. HaMekadish is a ketana, kidusha tuluyin. When you're Mekadish a ketana, and it's a din derabanan, so it's held in abeyance, so to say, until she becomes a gedola. And then, boom, when she becomes a gedola, it kicks in, so to say. Some suggest retroactively, some suggest mikano laba, a whole different discussion, not for now, but the kedushin kicks in, even though she hasn't had bia as a gedola. So clearly, it's like the option number one that Rabbi Lazar had said, and not like Rav said, like it's option number two. And therefore, Rav Sheshes said, Rav must have been sleeping when he said it was like option number two. The Braisa says it's beferish like option number one. But the Gemara says, no, Rav Sheshes is incorrect. Mai Tuluyin. What does it mean in this Braisa when it says, HaMekadish HaSeisha Kiddusha Tuluyin? Doesn't it mean, Lav Kigodlo Godle Bahadah Af Al Gav Delo Ba. It means even though she didn't have Bia. That's what Rav Sheshis wanted to suggest. And the Gemara says, no, Lav Davka. Amalei Ravin Berei De Rav Nachman. Ravin, who was the son of Rav Nachman, said, no, Hamilsa Diktana Misla Taya Vekaima. It's exactly like Rav said. This Bryce is in support of Rav, not a kash on Rav. The Bryce means that it's held in abeyance until she has relations as a Gedola. If she has relations as a Gedola, so then the Kedushin are Chal now under the Raisa level. If not, then they're not held under the Raisa level. They still remain under the Rabbanan level. And as if this woman, this Yavoma, says, the Amra, who Adif Minoy, in some ways, he's a superior to me in that he can divorce me. But in some ways, vana adif nomine, I'm superior to him in that I can still do mian. So therefore, each of us has a certain strength to our relationship over here. He can give a get, and I can do mian. But the bottom line is that goes away after there is bila when she's a gedola. So Ravin says to Rav Sheshis, you're incorrect, and that the understanding of Rav was in fact correct, that it's only that she becomes a full-fledged d'oraisa marriage if they have relations once she is a gedola. That's a simple way to read this and understand this. Some are not goris the word d'omra over here, and they say instead of it's that the woman is saying this, the yavam is saying this, hu adif minoy v'anoy adif minay, as I explained it, but it's Rav Sheshis saying to Ravin that you are in fact hu adif minoy, you're better than me. You knew how to understand this braisa, however, anoy adif minay, and that I knew the braisa. But you are better than me in that you're able to interpret this braisa in the correct way. Okay, this is a very good breakpoint. With this, we'll conclude today's share.